Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. This is episode 118, where we're going to dive into how you can't lead your child out of chaos if you're still in it. You've read the books. You've tried the scripts. Maybe even practiced breathing with your child. But when the meltdown hits, you still find yourself yelling, shutting down, trying to power through it. And then you sit there and you're wondering, like, why isn't this working? They said to try these tools and they're not working right now. And so this episode isn't about how to calm your child. Okay. We're going one step before that. We're going to do something that's even more foundational before that. So before you can work on the steps to help your child, we need to learn how to calm yourself, because you cannot lead them out of chaos if you are still in that chaos, if your stress nerve is kicking in, if your stress animal is kicking in. When you start to learn and recognize your own stress responses and kind of anchor yourself first, give you that calmness in yourself, then you stop reacting and you start co-regulating. So you're actually helping regulate the child who can't regulate themselves. And that's when connection and calm becomes possible. This episode is part of the CARES model. This is the five steps that I have been doing for years with my clients. I didn't even realize it was a process until recently, where I always walk through these steps and making sure that none of these foundational pieces are missed. So these are the really big foundational pieces in being able to understand what's going on with your child and to be able to know why they're responding and how they need you to respond. This isn't the same for every child. It's not the same for every parent. And this framework helps you figure out what it is for you and your child to help bring calmness for them. We have already dove into the C, which has changed the lens. That was episode 116. And then in episode 110, I did this one before not realizing I was doing the CARES process. That's the animal awareness, the A. So if you have not gone through those, episode 116 and then 110 with the stress animals, I would highly recommend you go and do those first before coming into this one, because there's a lot of what I'm going to talk about today in this episode. There's a lot of stress animal talk in this episode. So go back to 110 if you have not done so, or you might be a little bit confused with some of the things I'm talking about today. This is so important as a foundational. Before we can even start giving our kids tools, we need to work on this ourselves, because you starting to regulate your nervous system, you become this safe place for your child, and that changes everything. So let's dive into this episode today. You really can't be the anchor when you're caught in the wave. So we often try to calm our kids while our own nervous system is activated. We think we're helping, but our tone of voice, the tension in us, the urgency to get it done or do what they need to do or change their behavior is actually communicating the opposite. It's communicating to our child that this isn't safe. And the hardest part too is sometimes we actually think we're calm, but our nervous system is saying otherwise. We're like holding our breath. Maybe you're speaking gently, but your body is rushing, or your posture is tight, or your eyes are intense, and your child feels it. So you might kneel down to help, but your voice is a little bit clipped when you're doing it. You try to stay calm, but you're rushing. Your energy is tight and your child starts to spiral more. You're trying to teach them regulation. So when you are telling your child to breathe, meanwhile, you're holding your breath. Your body is tense. You're actually broadcasting threat signals and you're not practicing what you are trying to instill in your child. It's almost like trying to rescue someone while you're still treading water and struggling yourself. If you're both drowning and you're trying to rescue the other person, you're both going to go under. I want you to just sit here and ask yourself, in those hard moments, am I truly calm? Or am I just trying to look like I am calm? Now, I want to put a whole caveat here, because This is not easy to do. We have stress. We're adulting. There's so much stuff going on in our lives. We also have not been taught as adults through our lives. This is a lot of the new stuff that's coming out there, how to not be an overwhelm ourselves, how to not be burnout, how to not be stressed all of the time when life is throwing us one thing after another, after another. And then we add into it a child with big emotions, right? We add in a child with panic attacks. We add in a child that it might be yelling or screaming or hitting or totally high energy all over the place, completely non-focused, all out there, misbehaving, or a child that is just constantly shut down and you can't even get anything out of them or help get them to help or do or say anything. It is hard as heck to stay calm. And I am going to say, I teach this. I teach this all the time. And it is not possible for me to stay calm all of the time. I can catch myself a lot faster. I can bring myself down because I know the tools. I know where I'm at. I've worked on my stress system. So what I'm saying here is not saying, if you're doing this, you are wrong. You are bad. You are this horrible person. And I'm not saying that this is something that you are going to be able to change just from listening to this podcast episode. Okay. I don't want to put false things out there for you. I want you to be aware of this. Okay. This episode is about being aware. It's about being aware of this. What we're going to be going through right now is to help you be aware of it. And you're actually going to be able to start changing some of your behaviors, basically from what I'm going to dive into with you right now. But you're still probably going to revert into a lot of your stress animals until you've done more of the deeper work yourself. And it's up to you as to how deep you want to go and where you want to go with this and the bandwidth that you have to be able to do it. What I will tell you is the more that you work on it, the more bandwidth you have and the deeper you're able to go and the more gains you're able to get, right? We just have to start taking that first step up the ladder. And what I'm going to dive into right now is going to be that first step. So we talk a lot about our kids' stress animals, or I do. And episode 110 really dove into that. So sharks, they fight. They fight. They're on the prowl. They're looking out for things. They're always looking for the dangers and ready to react as soon as a danger is perceived. Clownfish cling. They get anxiety. They're worrying all the time. They're in their head thinking ahead. What's going to happen? How are the things going to be? Turtles shut down. They're quiet. They're not responding. They may not answer questions. They may not know how to answer questions, or they may not participate or pull their weight at home. The dolphin is when we're regulated. Dolphin is when we're calm, we're regulated, we're good, we're ready to go. We all have stress animals ourselves as adults. So we talk about these as kids, but we all have them as well. And they show up fast in parenting moments. You could be calm in dolphin and all of a sudden, boom, you're in shark, you're in clownfish, or you're shutting down yourself based on how your stress system reacts and what your stress animal quite often is. And you can be multiple stress animals. We all are. We shift between them. So if you haven't met those stress animals yet, again, it's the last time I'll say this, but definitely go back to episode 110 and go listen to those, because what I'm going to say now is going to be based on that. It's going to be building on that. So we have these trigger loops where a shark might trigger your clownfish, or their clownfish might activate your inner shark. And suddenly nobody's anchored. Nobody's calm. Nobody is able to regulate, which means nobody can co-regulate, which means help the other person regulate. We want to show up as calm, compassionate, grounded parents. But when our child's behavior flips our nervous system into high alert, it is so friggin' hard. It is so friggin' hard. And some of our kids know how to really push our buttons. So the thing though is it's starting to notice this. Oh, I just switched into an animal. I just switched into my shark, my clownfish, my turtle brain. And when we respond from our own stress animal, we start creating this loop of disconnection. So let's go through some real life examples. So let's say this child is a shark and the parent is also a shark. The shark explodes. The child explodes. They're screaming. They're hitting. They're maybe throwing something. They're in full fight mode. And your own shark comes out too. You raise your voice. You snap back with commands like, that's enough. Go to your room right now. You do not talk to me that way. Both of you are now in that fight mode, defending, reacting, escalating. And it becomes this power struggle. It's not a moment of support. And afterwards, you both feel awful. Completely awful. Nothing got resolved. No one felt safe, and you're trying to regain control, but instead the chaos got louder. I do dive into this more, but I just want to touch on this because this came into my mind, as you might be thinking to yourself, okay, but they can't be hitting and yelling and breaking things and all of that. And yeah, you're right. Like, you need to look out for your safety and all that too. And so we do need the shark at times to be coming in from a positive lens, but you can still come in calm and collected as shark, but assertive. You can be an assertive shark, where the way that you're saying it is still coming from the nervous system that is more regulated. We do still need to be in shark, but not in that shark that is in that level where everything is a threat. We're in the shark that is in the more safety mode. So let's go through another example where your child is a clownfish. Their anxiety, right? They're spiraling. They're asking the same questions over and over, getting stuck or worrying and needing reassurance. And the parent's in shark mode. They're overwhelmed by the anxiety. This child's overwhelmed. Their way of coping is to cling tighter, seek answers, and not let go until they feel safe. But you, as a shark, you're going into fix it mode. It's not a big deal. Just go say hi. You already know what to do. We practiced this. You'll be fine. Just breathe. Do your best. You don't need to worry about it. It's already handled. Or seriously, it's not something you need to get upset about. You might also, I was talking with a parent the other day too, but when their child's doing this, they're worrying about all these interactions with their friends and they start trying to problem solve for them right then and there. Each sentence is an attempt to solve their fear. But to the clownfish, it feels more like pressure. They're not getting that calm presence that they need. They're just getting more intensity. So they cling harder or they collapse. That's when they sometimes do get into shark mode too, and they start yelling or crying or getting very upset themselves. And you left feeling like, why don't they trust me? I just gave them all the answers. I just gave them all the tools that they need to know what to do. Why did that upset them? So you get these power struggles. You get these disconnect. You get where both people are feeling unsafe. So let's do this where the child is the turtle and the parent is the clownfish. So the child shuts down. They go quiet. They're avoiding eye contact. And they say, I'm fine, with a smile, but you know that something feels off. They're not actually calm. They're people-pleasing. They're trying to stay invisible. They're hoping that the tension will pass. And then you, as the clownfish, are sensing that something isn't right. And it makes you more anxious. You hover and you're asking, are you okay? Again and again. What's wrong? What do you need? How can I help? You know, you try to talk it out, even when they don't have the words yet. The urgency, though, in you trying to help them, trying to solve it, makes them actually start retreating further. It gets them to pull their head and pull their hands and their legs into that shell more. They kind of feel smothered. They feel helpless. They feel more stressed, more unsafe. And you don't feel safe too, because you're like, oh my God, there's something bothering them and I don't know how to help them. I'm in this clownfish. I'm spiraling. I'm worried about them. You're worried that they're going to spiral even more. And it's hard. So these are normal reactions. So us knowing our animal signs is hugely important, hugely important. And knowing how to react to another animal sign is very important as well. So you're not failing when you have a disconnect. You're not failing when your stress animal kicks in and you're reacting incorrectly or not in a way that makes your child feel safe. You're human. You also have never been taught this before, maybe, or you've never been taught it in this way that's connecting and clicking like this is. Your nervous system leads the way, and that is what determines if you stay in that dolphin or you move into these stress animal brains. When you stay steady in dolphin, then they feel safer and they start switching out of that brain easier and faster. I am going to say that this is not like, it means that they might throw things or have punches that just aren't as hard, or they might start throwing things that aren't going to hurt or break anything. They start decreasing their intensity, and what that looks like for one child is different than the other. The caveat here, though, is they probably still are not ready to have those deep conversations and figure out what's going and going into solution mode. We need to regulate in order to co-regulate. If you are not regulated, you cannot be that regulation body for your child. So forget fixing the behavior in the moment. Your job is to become the anchor first. Because until your nervous system is calm, theirs cannot be. And this is where I dove into the last lesson as well about how our stress nerve is like a muscle. The more that you work it, the stronger it gets and the quicker it is to react. So if this is a child that is in a stress state often, if they have like different sensitivities, if they hear things more than others, if they visually take in more than others, if they are struggling with anything in school, if they struggle with peer pressure, but oh my God, just the way kids are all the time, like relationships in general, even us as adults, right? They're not easy. So there's always going to be stressors. We have the perfectionism. We have the fear of making mistakes. We have not impulse control. We have the struggling to pay attention. All of these things are really tough for our kids, and they're all taxing their stress nerve. And that nerve becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and their resting nerve becomes overpowered. So they need you to be regulated in your resting nerve in order to give them more strength than theirs to shift out at the start. Eventually theirs becomes stronger as well, but we can't strengthen theirs until ours is strengthened. Think of your child like a boat in rough waters. Your nervous system is the dock. If you're drifting too, if that dock's drifting, there's nothing for them to grab onto. There's nothing for them to bring that boat into shore. They're not going to be able to, like, if they're just on a rocky dock in the middle of the rocky water with their rocky boat, even if they're attached to you, it's going to stay rocky. But if your dock is secured in the docking port, whatever that word is, if their dock is secured, then they can bring that boat out of the choppy waters and secure it to your calm dock and get out of the boat onto your calm dock. Regulation in the moment isn't about getting it perfect. It's about noticing when you've been pulling your stress animal brain, pulled into your stress animal brain, and pausing long enough to add fuel to the fire. We're also going to think of this like a fire drill, right? You don't learn how to stay calm during a fire. You practice ahead of time. You run the drill so that when your stress system kicks in, your body knows what to do. And that takes practice outside of the moment. So what you do in the moment, right now, your job isn't to fix your regulation. It's to notice if you're activated. So if you're activated, you might sit there and go, whoa, my shark's coming online right now. Or I can feel my clamfish wanting to fix everything. Am I wanting to fix everything right now? That's not the dolphin brain. Or my turtle wants to just shut down and disappear. That's the moments of awareness. That is the work I'm asking you to do today. I'm not asking you to start fixing things, know what to do in the moment, know how to get yourself regulated or anything. We, from this episode, is having you notice. Notice, are you kicking in? Are you kicking into that shark? Are you kicking into the clownfish? Are you kicking into your turtle? Start building that muscle about the awareness that you're doing it. And then when you're catching yourself, that's the first step to change. That's that first step of what I call the learning ladder. That's your first step. And you have done well. So instead of forcing a tool, try this gentle shift. Name it. My shark's here. And if your child knows about these things too, you can say, I'm noticing my shark is kicking in. And then you start sitting and say, I'm noticing this. I don't need to fix this yet. This is hard and I'm learning. Give yourself compassion. Give yourself the support. You have just noticed something that you probably were not noticing before, which stress animal you're in. So some of these phrases you can say to yourself is, I don't need to fix this right now. I just need to be the calm that my child can return to. I don't need to start asking them a bunch of questions in clownfish. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to be yelling at them. I just need to be calm for them right now. I don't need to be trying to get this turtle to speak. Just need to sit and be the calm for them right now. This is not easy to do. I'm going to tell you, it's going to go everything against what that stress animal is wanting to do in that moment of time. And it's not something that you can expect to master in a moment, especially in a moment of chaos. It takes practice, it takes time, and it takes effort from you, not just your child. We can't just expect that we're going to teach all these tools to our child and everything's going to be okay, because you need to be there for them as well. This is what I do with clients, right? This is what we do with my one-on-one clients. This is what we focus on in support side, the support circle with other parents like you, helping you build those fire drills. Helping you strengthen your awareness, strengthen your regulation, so that when the meltdown comes, you have something to return to. If it felt like you were a bit called out in this episode today, I just want to say that's okay. It means that your awareness is growing. And that's the whole point of step number three, the whole point of this step. You don't need to fix anything in the moment. What your child needs first isn't a strategy, it's you. Your child needs you, not you with the perfect words, just you, steady enough that they can borrow your calm. They can come into the port, come into that calm dock, out of the rocky waters, and step onto your dock. That's what they need. This episode isn't about what to do during the meltdown. That's coming later. Right now, it's about learning the most important piece that often gets skipped, that you can't co-regulate your child. You can't be that regulating force, that calming force, that anchor for them until you know how to notice and care for your own nervous system. That awareness, knowing your stress animal, recognizing when you're activated, pausing instead of reacting, that's the starting point. Because co-regulation isn't about doing more. It's about being the calm that they can come back to. And yes, it takes time to build that kind of presence. If you would like more support in this, I work with clients one-on-one, I work with parents, and I work with kids. I also work in the support circle with these parents. If you want to learn how to co-regulate, how to become the steady anchor your child can rely on, I would love to walk you through it. You'll find in the show notes below the link for the support circle. There's also a book a call link if you would like to talk to me about seeing what it would be like to work with me. Absolutely book that call. Book a call as well if you just have questions and you want to go through questions just to see what would be a good next step for you. You're already doing the work by listening to this podcast episode, and that is going to take you places. I'm here for you every step of the way, and you are not alone. I will see you in the next episode. We have a really great interview coming up. And then the week after that, I'm going to go into the next step of the CARES framework. I will see you then. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this episode, to this podcast. It really does help others see this podcast. And please share this podcast with others that you feel may benefit from it. That's how we grow. I am a mom who homeschools and does this as well. And it would mean the world to me if you would share this with other people so we can get more out there and help more moms and parents like you. All right, I'll see you in the next episode.